Have a seat. Have a seat. Have a seat. Thank you. Thank you very much. We are definitely not worthy of that. I had my family sit outside so we wouldn't get emotional, and you had to go do all that kind of stuff. Amen? What a joy it is to be here tonight. We owe such a great debt to Pastor, of course, my brother. So about 19 years ago, at that time I was pastoring, and I just realized that there were some things that we wanted to change in our direction, in our life, in our ministry. And I came to my brother. He was in his office over on Anaheim and Raymond. And to be honest with you, I was crying. If I remember correctly, I didn't know what we were going to do. We definitely wanted to make some changes, and so I asked my brother if he would consider allowing us just come here for 6 months. It's been a long 6 months. Somebody say amen. Amen. And, you know, one thing led to another, and we're thankful. I look around the auditorium, and there's so many memories. I do want to take a moment real quick to thank a couple people. I'm thankful all of you are here. I know some of you came especially for tonight because you don't normally come Sunday. I want to thank Hannah for coming tonight. Thank you very much. It means a lot to me. And spent many, many hours at her home. She used to be in my Sunday school class, and my wife and I spent many, many hours there and with her family. We sure do love them. When I saw her here tonight, that was special. It's good to have my aunt all the way in the back, and we're thankful that she's here tonight. And then Carol Fowler is here tonight from Brother Fisher's church, and Carol has been just quite a friend. And I should tell you, I'll get tell you a funny story. It'll help to alleviate the tears. Amen. I used to text message a lot. I don't have a phone. That's why a lot of you haven't seen any text messages lately. And I'm a multitasker. So what that means is I'll text four or five people at the same time. I'm just going back and forth. I was in Illinois at Tanya's house, Taryn's house. Taryn is my niece, and she's married to assistant pastor at a church there in southern Illinois. And I was texting three or four different people, and Carol was one of them. And Taryn was one. Taryn had let me stay at their place for a couple days, and she actually came to Long Beach. Well, I was sending Carol some text. I think, I forget what the issue was. Maybe she was asking for prayer and whatever it was. And I was getting some word back to Taryn, my niece. And so I shot a text, said, I love you. But I sent it to Carol. She sent me one back. I love you too. No, I just. And I noticed, I said, oh, no. I got bailed out. The only way I got bailed out is I had sent her two texts that were supposed to go to Taryn. And the previous text said something. I left some candy on the counter for the kids or something. So I got bailed out. But that's not my worst texting. Dave Blatchley, I don't know if Dave's here tonight, but Dave Blatchley, one time I was texting three or four or five people all at the same time. I'm ADD. I'm texting. And I sent Dave Blatchley a text, said, I love you. And then I looked. I said, you've got to be kidding me. So I sent back. I said, Dave, that was not for you. He said, well, it's Long Beach. I thought it was for me. But so the moral of the story is only text one at a time. Actually, I did Carol twice. One time, Carol, I sent her a text. I'll take a burger and fries or something. I forget what it was. My wife had just texted me. So we're glad to have Carol here. Carol, there will be no more text. No more text. And we're glad everybody's here tonight. If you have a Bible, turn to Hebrews chapter 1. Get a sip here. Hebrews chapter 1. I was debating on what to preach. What do you preach the last message of a church you love, a church that I'm so thankful for? Again, Pastor, thank you for your influence in my life, your friendship. I think I sent Pastor an email not long ago, said one of the things about leaving Pacific Baptist Church, there's so many things about leaving Pacific Baptist Church that, you know, it hurts, but is his friendship. He's been a friend for many, many years. And we thank God for that. I thank God for the staff. I thank God for the church members. I look around. I just saw Jesse Forrester there. As a matter of fact, he's misbehaving right now. I look around and I think about all the memories. I think about Mallory and Karina who got up here and sang, and just how close we were to their families, and so many of you, and we could literally take all day, all night tonight, but you want to get home. I know you do. So Hebrews chapter 1, just real quickly, a little bit of background, the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews is actually written to Jewish Christians. These are Jews who have been converted. They're saved. And for whatever reason, by the way, Chan, it's good to see you. You've been praying for you. Haven't been able to text you recently because of the phone. It's good to see you. We're praying for your health. The book of Hebrews is written to Jewish Christians. And those Jewish Christians, for whatever reason, and whatever commentary you read, there's different opinions. For whatever reason, they were hanging on to a lot of their rituals. And they were, if you go through the book of Hebrews, you'll see that they were overemphasizing angels. They were overemphasizing Melchizedek. They were overemphasizing the priesthood and just a lot of different things that for the Jew was important. But once you get saved, those things are passed away. And so when you read the book of Hebrews, you have to understand that. The first six chapters or so of the book of Hebrews deals primarily with doctrine. The last few chapters of the book of Hebrews, like so many other books, written in the New Testament, and we're not sure who wrote Hebrews. Many think it was the Apostle Paul. Some think it was Apollos. But the last few chapters deal with not doctrine, but duty. If I believe right, I will behave right. And that's really what the book of Hebrews deals with. With that in mind, let's all stand. If you're able to, if you're able to stand, we're going to read verses 4 through 14. And have a word of prayer, then you may be seated. We'll make a couple comments. And I cannot think of a more important message to preach, my last message at Pacific Baptist Church. I thought about a lot of different things. I thought about a whole message on, you know, just thank you. Thank you for all the blessings. But I think this is something, as I was in my devotions a couple days ago, the Lord laid upon my heart, and we'll see what the Lord will do. We'll begin reading verse number 4. I'll read out loud. You read along with me silently, if you would. Being made so much better than the angels. It's talking about the Lord Jesus. As he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again I will be to him a father, and shall be to me, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. Him, of course, being the Lord Jesus. And of the angels, he saith, who maketh his angel spirits and his ministers a flame of fire? But unto the Son, notice that capital S there, talking about the Lord Jesus again. But unto the Son, he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever a scepter of righteousness. Is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with oil, the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they shall all wax old, as doth a garment. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand, until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? I'd like for you to look at verse number 4 again. I want to point out three words that will be the title of our message and topic of our message this evening. So much better. So much better. If you have the habit of underlining, highlighting in your Bible, you may want to underline those words. So much better. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we love you tonight. We love you tonight because you first loved us. We are humbled in your presence. And Father, tonight we've been blessed as our dear friends and our brothers and sisters here at Pacific Baptist have brought gifts to us and sung songs that have encouraged us. Our mind has went back over the years, and we're thankful for the many years here. But we are starting a new phase in life in just about 48 hours, 72 hours. We want to be a blessing tonight to Pacific Baptist Church. They've been a blessing to us for so many years. And tonight we want Christ to be exalted. That's what it's all about. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. This book is filled with one overriding theme. Let's consider it tonight simply. It's simply this: that Jesus is so much better. As I mentioned a little while ago, this book was written primarily to Jewish believers who continue to go back to their old ways. By the way, not bad ways, but their old ways. If you go through the book of Hebrews, I believe you'll find the word better 13 different times. Quite a few years ago, I think it was about 15 years ago, a man that was receiving an honorary doctorate at a graduation service at the college that I attended, the church that I attended many, many years ago, after he received his honorary doctorate, he got up and he thanked the pastor for a moment, and he thanked the president of the college for the moment. And that I was not in the auditorium, but I was told the story later on. And then he went on, and for 15 minutes, all he did was bragged on Jesus. I remember after that happened, he got criticized. A lot of folks felt that he should have spent more time praising the pastor and thanking the pastor. He did praise the pastor and give honor where honor was due and thank the pastor. But he spent most of his time just praising Jesus. I want to ask you a question tonight. Was that man being ungrateful? No, I don't think so. He just understood the truth that is found in this book, the truth that this book is trying to impress upon your heart and mine, that Jesus is so much better. He's so much better. You see, if we don't understand this truth, if we don't have it burned within our hearts, we'll never become what he desires for us to become. We'll never go where he desires for us to go, and surely we'll never do what he desires for us to do. I've been in the ministry for almost 30 years, and I have been very, very guilty of it myself, but I have watched over the years that we do everything we can to help people to become what they ought to become and get people to do what they ought to do, and even to encourage folks to go where somebody ought to go. Somebody say amen. Yet if you've been a Christian very long, you realize that there seems to be a disconnect. Maybe we have it all wrong. Maybe we need to get plugged back in to the source. See, Jesus is so much better. If we don't understand this truth, if we don't have it burned within our hearts, we'll never be able to biblically evangelize the sinner, edify the saint, and exalt the Savior, our sovereign King. See, there has to come a place in all of our lives, whether you're saved today, you got saved this morning in the morning service, or you've been saved for 30 years, there has to come a place in all of our lives where we recognize this truth, this overriding theme that is found in the book of Hebrews. By the way, not only the book of Hebrews, throughout the New Testament, Jesus is so much better. It was the great A.W. Tozer over 50 years ago who wrote these words: What comes into your mind when you think about God is the most important thing about you. This evening, I want to ask you a question. By the way, I'm going to ask myself the question. This morning, as I was spending time in prayer, and I was saying, Lord, it's so easy to preach a message like this. It's just so difficult to live. I know that far too often in my life, the truth of this book is not embedded in my heart. But tonight, each and every one of us need to get to a place where we can say, Jesus is so much better. So much better. You name it, prosperity. You know, I had somebody today, Brother Stein, I think it was today, and so many of you said so many kind words today, and thank you very much. I appreciate that. But anything that was ever done good through me was Jesus. I messed everything up I ever did, even in the name of the Lord. But Brother Stein said, Brother Johnny, one of the things that you helped me the most with was the matter of materialism. You know, we could get up and we could preach series of messages on, you know, living in light of eternity and stewardship and that type of thing. But the truth of the matter is this. We will never get that right until we get this right. Jesus is so much better. See, if you're having a problem tonight with materialism, that's not the main problem. The problem is Jesus isn't so much better. We all struggle with that, don't we? You name it, prosperity, popularity, possessions, personal comfort and pleasure, our heritage, our ethnicity. I think you sent an email out recently. I think I talked about pride, and boy, we're so proud, aren't we? If you're not white, you're not right. Somebody say amen. Brown power, yellow power, orange power, chartreuse power. Can I tell you? None of that is important. Red and yellow, black and white. They're all precious in His sight. See, there has to come a time in our lives where we say, Jesus is so much better. He's better than family. He's better than friends. He's better than financial stability. He's better than the future ambitions that I have. See, we'll never do what God would have us do. We'll never go where He'd have us go if we don't understand this truth. Jesus is so much better. It's better than our heritage, our heroes, our hobbies. I've mentioned family, friends. You know, this is the last 2 weeks been real emotional. This morning, when the Ron Hamilton song came on, you know, He Knoweth the Path You Take. Man, I start bawling like a baby. Then I start bawling. My daughter Joy sitting next to me, she started bawling. It's hard to leave family. It's hard to leave the children. It's hard to leave the grandchildren. But you know, the only thing that really, to be honest with you, sometimes I think, man, are you insane? What are you thinking? Carol's saying. But there has to come a place in our lives where we say, that Jesus is so much better. He's better than my 9 grandchildren who I love dearly. He's better than my 5 children, my wife, my church, my country. Jesus is so much better. Throughout this book, we can look at many passages. You don't need to look there. I'll just mention a couple of them. In chapter 2, verse 7 and 8, we find these words referring to Christ: "Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands." We also find these words in verse 8: "Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet." You say, what is the writer of Hebrews saying? He's saying, Jesus is so much better. So much better. In chapter 2, verse 9, we find these words: "But we see Jesus." There has to come a time in our life where all of us, if you're saved today and we're redeemed by the blood of Christ, there has to come a time in our lives where we say, all I can see, all that I'm focusing on is Jesus. In chapter 3, verse 3, we find these words: "For this man, Jesus, was kind of worthy of more glory." You say, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say Jesus is so much better. So much better. In chapter 7, verse 22, we find these words: "By so much was Jesus made a surety for a better testament." By the way, spend a lot of time in the New Testament, because it is a better testament. I'm thankful that all of the Word of God is inspired and it's profitable. But may I remind you of something? By the blood of Christ, a New Testament has been given us. And by the way, you'll see Jesus in the old and the new, but you'll especially see him in the new. Somebody say amen. Jesus is so much better. In chapter 8, verse 6, we find these words: "But now he hath obtained a more excellent ministry." And we also find these words: "He is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises." What is the writer saying? Simply saying this: Jesus is so much better. In chapter 11, verse 27, we find that Moses was willing to leave his riches, the comfort and convenience, behind because he saw him, Jesus, who is invisible. Why? Because he's so much better. Tonight, I'm sure there are some who you struggle. Maybe it's with going to the mission field. And you hang on to something or someone. I'm here tonight simply as a messenger of the Lord Jesus to say he's so much better than whatever you're hanging on to. There may be some here tonight that you are, you've been struggling. Maybe it's a young man. You've been struggling with the call to preach, and you've been struggling, and God has been speaking to your heart, and you know it's God. I know sometimes we try to get you into it, but you know God's been doing it. But someone or something is holding you back. It could be family. It could be friends. I'm here tonight just to say, remind you, Jesus is so much better. I'm sure tonight, no doubt tonight, there are some here in this auditorium and you're struggling. There's maybe a besetting sin. And if we have time, we'll look at that in a moment. But a besetting sin in your life, Hebrews chapter 12. And you're struggling with it. And we all have besetting sins. And we all have weights in our lives. And God has been speaking to you about it. And you've been convicted. And maybe you've hit the altar and you've been convicted. You've been challenged, but you haven't been changed. I'm here tonight just to say that whatever it is you're hanging on to, or whatever it is that's hanging on to you, Jesus is so much better. In chapter 12, verse 2, we find these very familiar words: "Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith." Why? Why do we look to Jesus? Because he's so much better. So much better. I read recently, well, it's about a year ago now. A year ago, I read a book, and two men, and they had done a survey for about a year. What they had done, they had studied sermons. They had taken sermon CDs, I guess, or just listened online. I don't know exactly how they did it. But for a year, they studied hundreds of sermons. And they said they were shocked how little Jesus is referred to when we preach. Somebody say amen. Now, by the way, they weren't criticizing the messages. The truths, no doubt, were great truths. And these men actually then went on and they talked about how each book in the New Testament, how many times you'd find the name Jesus, and how many times you would find the title Christ, and how many times you'd find Lord. And then they compared it to a lot of things we would preach about. I remember after reading that, I took my Bible software, my computer, and I did a little study myself. It's pretty amazing. I wonder if sometimes that even we in the pulpit have forgot that Jesus is so much better. One author wrote these words: regrettably, Christians have made the gospel about so many things, things other than Jesus Christ. He said, but Jesus Christ is the gravitational pull that brings everything together and gives life its true meaning and purpose. Without him, everything loses its value, and it is very possible that we could be guilty of emphasizing a truth, a value, a gift, a ministry, and yet miss Christ. Therefore, we must seek Christ, know Christ, embrace Christ, and allow Christ to transform our hearts and our desires. You've heard me say this before. It's not about me. It's not about you. It isn't even about us. It is entirely about him. It's entirely about him. We must not forget that. See, the church of Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2, they forgot that. The church of Ephesus was the ideal model church. They were doctrinally sound. They were fervent in their service for the Lord. If somebody came in and said they were an apostle, they checked it out. But our Lord Jesus said to them, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. Thou hast left thy first love. He's so much better. I believe it was the same author wrote these words. There seems to be a major disconnect in his church today. It would appear that the church of Jesus Christ have been infected with a strange virus. Most of us have been infected with the disease of JDD. You've heard of ADD? JDD. Jesus Deficit Disorder. Then he concludes with these words: when we dethrone Jesus Christ from his rightful place, we tarnish the face of Christianity as it is supposed to be, and we redefine it out of existence. The message is simple tonight. Jesus is so much better. Better than what? He's better than anything that you're holding on to today. And anything that I'm holding on to today. Tonight would be a wonderful night for some of us to come back to Jesus. To come back to Jesus. We all have different testimonies. Mine's a little dramatic. Yours may not. But I'm guessing that tonight there are many folks tonight who would testify with me, these 36 years that I've been on this journey known as the Christian life. There have been many times that I've been busy. There have been many times that I have stood. There have been many times that I've done what I ought to do. But many of those times, if I would listen, I'd hear a small, still voice simply say, "And what about me? What about me?" We don't have time tonight. We could look at a lot of practical things because Jesus is so much better. We should draw near to him. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. We ought to spend time with him. Why? Because he's so much better. By the way, if I don't spend time with him, that's a revelation that there's someone or something that is better. Hello? Well, I don't have any time to read my Bible. You know, we find time to do what's important to us. I have time to pray. Now, see, if Jesus is so much better, we're going to draw near to God. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. Again, because of time. Yeah, because Jesus is so much better, we should hold fast to the profession of our faith. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. You know why I stand on the principles of the Word of God? I don't stand on the principles of the Word of God because somebody passed it on to me, though I thank God for that. I don't stand on the principles of the Word of God because everybody around me is doing it. By the way, it's easy to do in a church like this. I stand on the principles of the Word of God because he's so much better. That's why I'm supposed to live a holy life. I'm not supposed to live a holy life for you. I'm supposed to live a holy life for him. All the things that we preach about and we talk about, it's all of these things that we get up and we holler, we scream. The truth of the matter is this. We could solve the problem if we'll love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, body, and strength. Because Jesus is so much better, we should consider and provoke one another unto love and good works. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. By the way, that's why we gather together. By the way, you know, take it for what it's worth. We don't gather together to talk about the scores of the games. By the way, I love sports. Amen? I love sports. And March Madness is coming, and sure enough, I'm going to get backslidden. Amen? But can I just tell you something? When we gather together, there's more important things to talk about than who won the game last night. Amen? Because he's so much better. He's so much better not only than our sports heroes, he's so much better than our career. And I know we you know, small talk, how's work, and that type of thing. Sometimes I get the feeling in my own life and possibly it's like we have a hard time talking about Jesus. As we sang a song, let's talk about Jesus. I'm going to be honest with you. Now, you probably don't have this problem, but I'm going to be honest with you. I don't hear a whole lot of talk about Jesus in most churches. Now, maybe from the pulpit. You know, you always talk about what's important to you. From the abundance of the heart. Is that what the Bible says? The mouth speaketh. Because Jesus is so much better, we should lay aside every weight. By the way, weights are not bad things. Weights are good things. If you know anything about track, if you've ever run track, weights are something they run with during practice. But when it's time to run the race, you take the weights off. All of us tonight have weights. These are not sinful things. These are things that keep us from allowing Christ to be preeminent. Colossians 1:17. See, I'm sure you're not guilty of this. You pray for me. I find that more often than not, I want to make Christ prominent, but not preeminent. And there's a big difference. But there, we have weights in our lives tonight, things that are not necessarily sinful, but they need to be laid aside. And then, of course, sin, the besetting sin. Of course, in its context, it's talking about faith, lack of faith, but we have besetting sins. There's only one reason that we should do what we do. One primary reason. And it's simply this. Because He is so much better. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.